Tonight's shiur should be a schus for Michlat Charna Bas Zalman. And we thank the Shakos for again hosting the Rosh Chodesh shiur. Last night, for those who participated in the Kolol's dinner, it was a lovely gala, wonderful evening. I hope you enjoyed. Yeah, okay, good. But we'll decide which one was better, tonight or last night. Because I think last night was the only gist to be able to have tonight. That's my opinion. So we wish everyone a good Rosh Chodesh Shvat Tav Shin Samach Ches. In Shvat we have the Yom Tov of Tu B'Shvat. And Tu B'Shvat is kind of a puzzling Yom Tov. What do? It's a regular day. And some have the minhag to gather lots of fruits and make as many brachas on various fruits that they can find and hopefully enjoy. So as we have done in the past, we'll try to speak about blessings, about brachas. Certainly something, as the Sefer HaChinuch says, we do so often, so many times a day, so it certainly behooves us to spend some time thinking about it. What is a blessing? What are we saying when we make a bracha? And expand on that idea to blessings and see actually that brachas are really the key to all brachas. The Gemara tells us in the Nedarim that one who mentions Hashem's name in vain has committed a terrible offense. And not only that, but if you hear somebody mentioning Hashem's name in vain, you have to excommunicate that person. You can then uplift the excommunication, but so severe it is that if you even hear someone mentioning God's name in vain, right away you have to protest. And if one who hears this doesn't protest, then any sort of punishment that will come to that person, to the one who said it, can even come upon the person who didn't protest. And it says, one who says God's name in vain can bring anius, can bring poverty upon themselves. And we know from a couple of weeks ago's parasha, Parasha Shemos, that poverty is equal to death itself. As we know that it says, Ki meisu kol ha'anoshim ha'mavakshim es nafshecha, Moshe Rabbeinu was told that the people who were making trouble for him in Mitzrayim, they perished, they died. And really Chazal tells they didn't die. Dustin Aravim didn't die, but actually they became poor. And therefore they had no influence, they had no clout in Paro's palace. And here we see that Chazal equate not only poverty, someone is stricken with poverty, a few other things as well, but we equate this with death itself. And this, the Gemara tells us, that this is what a person can be punished with if he utters Hashem's name in vain. But the way we know this is not from the story of Dustin and Aviram that had nothing to do with mentioning Hashem's name in vain. The source for this is actually the opposite. The source for how we know that one can bring poverty upon himself if he says Hashem's name in vain is from a pasuk in Parshas Yisro. At the end of Parshas Yisro, it says, "B'chol hamokay masher azkir es shemi, avoy elecha uveirachticha." The Torah tells us that any place that you are allowed to utter Hashem's name in the proper way, whether it means in the Beit Hamikdash, as the simple understanding in that pasuk is, Hashem grants us to say His special name in the Beit Hamikdash, or whether the Gemara in Brachas tells us it refers to a person learning Torah, and that itself is mentioning Hashem's name, or whether he is allowed to mention Hashem's name during his learning. So those are permissible times when we mention Hashem's name. So b'chol hamokim, any place, asher azkir eshemi, which Hashem says, I allow my name to be mentioned, avay elecha, I come to you, uvei rachticha, I come to you and I give you bracha. Because when you have God on your side, you have bracha. So the Rishonim on this Gemara say, well, if anytime you make a bracha properly, anytime you mention Hashem's name properly, it brings you bracha, and it brings you oishur, it brings you wealth. Well, then the opposite has to be true as well. That if one mentions Hashem's name in vain, so it can bring poverty to the person. That is what the Gemara tells us. An interesting halacha that's learned in the Gemara Nedarim is that when one wants to make a vow, one can use the term karbon. A karbon, a sacrifice, and you can say karbon l'Hashem. And sometimes they would say l'Hashem karbon. To Hashem, this should be a karbon. And because they were afraid that a person may say that name of Hashem and then stop and not say karbon, so they instituted a brand new language. They made up a language that people should use strictly for making vows. In a time when it was common for people to make vows, and instead of using the word karbon, they made up a whole new language, according to one opinion of the Gemara. Just to be careful that people shouldn't say Hashem's name in vain. So severe is this. And we know that on the positive side, midat tova meruba. So on the positive side, when we learn from this pasuk, b'chol ha'mokim asher azkir shmi, any time we mention Hashem's name positively, in a good way, a way with bracha, a way through a mitzvah, a way through learning, it brings bracha. And the bracha that it could bring is tremendous bracha and tremendous wealth. That is what the Gemara teaches us here. What is the idea behind a bracha? What are we doing when we make a bracha? Make a bracha shahakol. Make a bracha on seeing something, on smelling something. Most of our brachas that we make are on eating. Aside for the brachas in the morning, the brachas of Berachas HaShachar, the brachas during davening, the Rishman Esrei, but then the rest of the day it's all on eating. So there's many brachas of praise, many brachas of request. What are we doing when we make a bracha? So the Sefer HaChinuch, in explaining the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon, the mitzvah of benching, a mitzvah d'oraisa in the Torah, when we eat and we're satisfied, we have to bench. So he goes through a very lengthy discourse in explaining the idea of Birchas HaMazon, and in his fashion explains certain halachas about it, and as well explain some of the underlying reasons and understandings behind the bracha. And he's very puzzled. He's very troubled and expresses very honestly that he has some misunderstanding what a bracha is. And he decided to delve into it and see what is really a bracha. What do we do when we say, blessed art thou the Lord, or whatever the English says. What does that mean? What does it mean we're blessing Hashem? How can we bless Hashem? How could you bless someone who has everything? How can you bless someone who is the source of all blessing? Who gives all blessing? You can't bless him. We're not giving anything to him. He says, my son, ki l'Hashem baruch hu kol ha-kavoid ve'ahoid v'chol ha-toy v'chol ha-chachma v'chol ha-echoilis v'chol ha-bracha. Hashem has everything. All the wisdom. He has all the money. He has all the power. So what are we saying? What are we giving him? What can we give him? V'divrei ben adam v'chol ma'aseyu, whatever we would say, whatever we would do, im tov, im ra, what do we do good, what do we do, some things, we'll get Hashem. We'll do something wrong. Does it affect Hashem if we do something wrong? Lo yosef lo yigra, we can't add to Hashem, we can't subtract Hashem. Al kein tzorach atah lahavchin, he says, therefore we have to understand, ki ba'amreinu tamid, we constantly say in brachas, Baruch Ato Hashem. Or we use the expression, La Yisbarach. That also he's very troubled with. What does the word Yisbarach mean? Hashem Yisbarach. Or in Kaddish we say Yisbarach. What does Yisbarach mean? The Yud at the beginning of the word always means it's a future tense. So Yisbarach, where he will bless. So it can't be the simple meaning. It can't mean the simple meaning we're actually giving a bracha to Hashem. Because we're not adding anything chalila. Ki hu ha'adein ala kol, he's the master of everything. V'chol ha'brachas hu mechadesh, all blessings, He's the one that brings them into existence. But when it's His will, He gives of that bracha that He has and that He deals out when He sees fit. So what does it mean we're giving a bracha to Hashem? Make a bracha. Say a bracha to Hashem. Bench. You know, we can bench our children. We can bench somebody else. We can give a friend a bracha. What does it mean we give a bracha to Hashem? And he says, we have to really search into what we're doing over here. We shouldn't waste our time. We're constantly involved in making brachas, whether we like it or not. If we have Yiras Shamayim, we make brachas. When we're obligated to make brachas, it piles up to the hundreds and thousands of brachas that we utter from our mouths on a daily and weekly basis. So he says, therefore, it really is incumbent upon us to search into this. So he explains that we know Hashem created people in the world, and we are here to, as he says, work in this world. We have sort of even some superiority over the world. And from Hashem's ways, the way of Hashem is, He's Rav Chesed. He has tremendous abundance of Chesed and only wants to do good and only wants to give and give and give and give from His goodness. That's what Hashem wants. Hashem only wants to give. And He wants that we should be worthy of receiving that good from Him. That also He wants. It's almost like a parent. Every parent wants to give to their children. But more so, we want our children to deserve what we want to give them. So we want them to behave, and we want them to succeed, and we want them to accomplish, and therefore we'll be able to give them praises and compliments, and we'll be able to buy them gifts. And we want them to deserve it, because then we feel good about it, and then the child actually deserves it. So it is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants us to be meritorious, to be able to deserve all of the blessing that He has and is ready to give. With that understanding, says the Sefer HaChinuch, he says, really what we're doing with the bracha is, we're just arousing ourselves. We're just putting ourselves in the right frame of mind. That Hashem is the source of all blessings. So we make a bracha, every bracha that we utter with our mouths, and when we do something physically, even uttering a bracha, that is helpful to put the mind in the proper, with the proper thoughts. And what we're saying with the bracha is, Hashem, You are the source of all bracha. That's what we're saying. Simply put, Baruch Ata Hashem, You are the source of all bracha. But with that understanding, that when we are in that mode, and when we have that mind frame that we know, Hashem, You are the source of a bracha, Hashem says, now you are ready to merit my bracha. Now I can give you my bracha. So when you make a bracha, when you utter Hashem's name, wherever I allow you to make my, just mention my name, wherever I allow you to make a bracha, and you do so properly, and now you conjured up the right thoughts that Hashem is the source of all bracha, Hashem says, okay, now you merit, now you can merit my bracha that I have to give. He explains the Shmoneh Esrei. Once we mention that, Hashem, You're the source of all bracha, and You're the source of all forgiveness, and You're the source of all das, and You're the source of all healing, and You're the source of all parnasa. That's our understanding. And if we understand in the proper way, Hashem says, okay, now I can grant you that. Because now you understand. Now you understand the way it works. That's what a bracha is. Interesting. He says, what does Yisbarach mean? So Yisbarach is essentially going on the future. And what we're saying is that it's our hope. It's our hope that more people understand this concept and more people give you bracha Hashem, that therefore you'll be able to give them bracha. Because we know that's what you want. So when we say Yisbarach, You are one who we know wants to give more bracha, and we hope that People take to that and they understand this, and more people hear this shir so they can see, understand what the Sefer HaKnesset says and make brachas properly, so then in turn you'll be able to give them more bracha. That's what the Sefer HaKnesset says. Are there refreshments?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're not done yet.
Oh, no.
Let's give them time to think properly before we make the bracha. Now, knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything is not only when we make a bracha. What the Chinuch is teaching us is that actually brachas sort of were instituted to help us out. As he says that when we utter the bracha, it helps us, it's ma'orer ourselves and our own mind to come to that realization. And we need that reminder 100 times a day. We need that reminder 1,000 times a week. We always need that reminder. But when we come to that realization and we become people that every bracha is with that understanding, then even when we're not making a bracha, we also keep the proper frame of mind in no matter what situation we're at. And let me explain what I mean with the following story. A true story that happened fairly recently. It happened with a person who, at the time of this story, was in his mid-70s. A person who was born and raised and lived all his life in Yerushalayim. Not a famous person. You never heard of him. And the story doesn't even bring his real name. So we'll call him Rabbi Yosef. And this Rabbi Yosef, as I said, lives all his life in Yerushalayim. And a real Jew with pure, strong faith. And was a teacher. So his students knew him. But he wasn't anyone famous. He probably walked the streets of Yerushalayim. Maybe he passed them by. He didn't notice him. There's probably a dozen people, righteous people like him, like this Rabbi Yosef. And this Rabbi Yosef was having chest pains for quite some time, and he ignored it until finally the time came he had to go see a specialist. And the doctor sits across the desk and tells Rabbi Yosef that your condition is terrible. And he says, the only thing that I would suggest, he says, you can leave and, you know, go on, live with the pain, but the medication that you've been taking has not been helpful. He said, what I would suggest is that we can do a very complicated heart surgery. If it's successful, you could live probably another 20 years. It's a risky surgery. And he says, honestly, the doctor says, there's a 50-50 chance that you won't make it out of the operating room alive. So, Rabbi Yosef, this is really your choice. Go discuss with your family and tell me what you have decided. So, obviously, a very agonizing decision for anybody to make. And that's what he did. He went and spoke it over with his own mentors and his family. And he came back to the doctor and said that he wants to go ahead with the surgery. They set a date for the day of the surgery, and many of his students and those who did know of him were davening for him and wished him well and saying Tehillim, and his small family that he had came with him to the hospital. And everything is set for the operation. They wheel him in on a stretcher. Family has to stay back now. And he goes into the OR. And the technicians and the anesthesiologists and the doctor himself and the nurses, everyone running around the room, getting ready, setting up for the surgery. And they're about to wheel him in closer under the lights. The doctor wishes him well and tells the anesthesiologist to start the injection. And Rabbi Yosef sticks his hand out and taps the doctor on the arm. He says, I just wanted to tell you something. The doctor says, yes. He says, I want you to know that if the operation is not successful, it's to no fault of your own. Life is in Hashem's hands. And you have been given this talent, and you have to do your best. But if it's not the will of Hashem that I should live, then I won't. But don't take any blame, and don't think it's your fault, because the next time somebody in a similar situation is going to need the surgery, and for him it will be successful, because that will be the will of Hashem, then do it without compunction, and don't blame yourself for this, because it's all in Hashem's hand. I just want you to know that. The doctor couldn't say much. He said, thank you, I understand. And he composed himself, and they wheeled him under the lights. And then the man stuck out his hand again, and he tapped the doctor. He said, I just wanted to tell you something. He said, I just want you to know that if the surgery is successful, and in a few hours I'll wake up and be in the recovery room and you'll be standing at my side, I just want you to know that, because that was Hashem's will. Because life is in the hands of Hashem. So don't be arrogant about it, and don't take too much pride. You're a talented man, and you were given this koach, and you have to do it to the best of your capability. But let's understand that life or death is in the hand of Hashem. And the doctor nodded, and he says, thank you, I understand. So that's a person who, at any moment in life, understood that very clearly. He understood that. We need brachas on a constant basis to remind us of that fact. A doctor once came over to a particular Rosh Yeshiva. Doesn't matter who it is. But the doctor came over to him and he asked him, says, I travel the halls and floors of this hospital that I work in, and it bothers me. He says, why are there so many Jewish people who are sick? Just proportionately to the amount of Jews around the world. And he says, why is it? It's just like a crazy phenomenon that there's just a lot of Jews that are sick. And the Rosh Yeshiva didn't answer him. He acknowledged the thought, and that was it. When he came back to his yeshiva, he said over this story, the comment that the doctor made to him, and he said, I didn't tell the doctor this, but I think the answer is as follows. He says, I think the answer is because when do you see Yidden davening properly? When do you see the Tehillim being said with a lot of kavana? When do you see people really crying out to Hashem? He says, no, but it's when people are in tzaras. It's when people are sick. And Hashem wants the tefillas. Hashem wants us to acknowledge Him all the time. So sort of Hashem, Kavayachal, has to do it that way in order to bring out the best in a Jew. So I thought that when I heard this story over, I thought that was quite a bold statement to make, and as if that is the reason for this phenomenon. But then I realized it's really very explicit in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us this. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, says on the Gemara on Memdalad Amibes, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar teaches us, La'olam yachdim adam tfila l'tzara. A person should always make sure to put in advance of all his tzaras, of all of his troubles, tfila. A person should always daven first before the tzara comes. Where do we know this from? We know it from a pasuk in Iyov. Iyov, we know, was the sufferer of all sufferers. And his friends told him, during his suffering, his friends told him, Hayarech shuach loibatzar. They said, Iyov, did you ever daven before you had the tzara? So Rashi says, this is what the friends told Iyov. Kulum hikdamta shuach loibatzar ad loibahatzara. Did you ever daven before all these tzaras came to you? Im hayisa isekein, had you done that, hayukakol ma'amtsim eskoichacha. Then you would have had a lot of, in heaven, you would have had a lot of malachim on your side, and they would have stuck up for you, and this maybe would never, never have happened. Which is really what this Rosh Hashiva was saying. In other words, they told Iyov that had you davened before, had you davened properly before, then Hashem would have had no need to bring the tzara. The Gemara brings an example by Avram Avinu, where he came before and came to Canaan, he built a Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach was in a form of davening to Hashem, because he foresaw, being the Navi that he was, he foresaw there's going to be trouble befalling the Jews in the times of Yahushua, because Achan was going to sin, and it will be a great tragedy, and Avram davened many, many generations before that, and he at least saved that it shouldn't be such a terrible tragedy. So that's what the Gemara teaches. La'ilam yakdim adam tfila l'tzara. A person should always put in advance his tfila before the tzara comes. And then the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Kivega tells us this Yerushalmi that is connected with this Gemara. And Yerushalmi is in Tainus, in the third parak of Tainus, Halacha Vav. Yerushalmi also quoting this same Rabbi Elazar, it says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Oikir la'asyach adaloy tzitzdarachle. It's an interesting mashal. The mashal is, give honor to your doctor before you go see him. So say good Shabbos to him in shul, and go play golf with him. Give respect to your doctor before you have to go to him. And before you're sick, and you have to now be treated by him, give respect to him. So what does that say? He should treat you nicely. So it's just a mashal. But the pasuk quoted again is Hayarech shuach aloy batzar. Did you daven before and Iyov? So you won't have to get into this mess in the first place. So Hashem doesn't have to bring the suffering on you because you davened already ahead of time. And the Chazal here is bringing out the same point. That if we daven ahead of time, if we daven before we are in any tzara, before we're in any predicament, before we have a problem and we need to come up with a solution, we daven now already, Hashem, keep me healthy. Hashem, we should find the proper zivug, the proper shidduch. Start that when you're 10 years old, when you're 12 years old. Start davening for the grandchildren already. When a person's having a trouble finding a job after 3 months of looking, he says, oh, maybe I should daven to Hashem properly. Maybe I should daven harder. No! When a person is still in college and he knows he's going to have to go find a job, then he should start davening. Hashem, when I have to go find a job, please help me find a job. It should be done in advance. We should give respect and honor to the doctor before we have to come out to the doctor. Before we need the doctor, before the tzara, and there has a much greater potency to be able to be heard. The acceptance of a tefillah then is much greater. Hashem doesn't have to turn over worlds then. Hashem could just make it very smooth then. And that's what the Gemara is telling us. My Rebbe was once sitting by Rav Shach Zatzal. And Rav Shach said over the following story. He says, towards the end of the Second World War, there was a very famous general in the German army who Hitler, Yimach Shemay, relied on very much and sent him to on many different fronts. And his last battle that he was going to fight, he was General Rommel, was he was going to capture and conquer Palestine. And they were in cahoots already with the Mufti, the one who was the head of the Muslims then in Palestine at the time. This is all documented, this is known. And he went with his fleet, with his army, to go conquer all the Jews and kill them out, just as they did in Germany and Poland. And this was the plan. And at the time, when the Jews living in Palestine at the time, when they heard this, so they sent people on 24-hour shifts to go daven at the Kaisel. And in every shul, and men, women, children, they took out the hillums and they davened and they davened for days on end. And an ace happened. Something miraculous took place. En route to Palestine, England decided they're going to send out a fleet. In the way it's described, as if there's like a gigantic fleet of ships, and then someone in a rowboat comes out. That was like the British Army. That's what they had. No, it didn't make sense. They knew they couldn't overpower the strong German Navy. And they sent out troops. And someone got all afraid, and a message came from Germany, turn around, about face, come back to Germany. We're being attacked. Come back to Germany. Come back to Germany. I'm almost there, General Rommel says. No, come back to Germany right now. They did an about face, and they went back to Germany. And the British guy in his rowboat probably was wondering, like, hey, where are they going? What's going on? And they retreated, and they went back. And the Jews were saved. And to the Brisker Rav, it was clear to him that it was the Tfilas in the time of Tzarek that saved the Jews at the time. And made this nace happen that they went back to Germany. But Rav Shach said that the Brisker Rav said at the time a very scary statement. He said that 10 years ago, when they were starting all this propaganda in Germany, and Hitler was gaining power, he says, had we davened then, like we davened now, the whole thing wouldn't have happened. Because we would have been mocked in tefillah l'tzara. If they would have recognized 1,000% that it's all in the hands of Hashem, before the tzara, we would have davened then, as hard as we davened now, he says, all the millions could have been spared. But that's in hindsight. Who knows? Who knows that? Who knows when you have to daven hard? When there's a tzara, you daven hard. I have to daven hard now for something I don't even know what's going to be. The Gemara suggests we should. Lo'ilam yakdim adam tefillah l'tzara. Rav Shach actually took this message and this lesson that he learned from his Rebbe, the Brisker Rav, and he put it into practice. Our Rosh Hashiva here, the local Rosh Hashiva of Shmuel Kamenetsky, so Gesund sein Bezerun 20. He's Kanai Nahara, a very healthy individual. And his father, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, was also a very healthy individual. He was blessed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with many long years and lived into his 90s, and he was healthy. And when he was already advanced in age and he was in his early 90s, he took ill. And we have to say Tehillim, we have to daven for Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. The problem was, it seemed that he wasn't able to communicate at the time. And people didn't know his name was Yaakov Ben, and they didn't know his mother's name. He'd been so healthy his whole life. No one knew his mother's name. No one ever did daven for him. And there was confusion about this. I checked with Rav Shmuel. There was confusion about his mother's name because it started as Esther, but then her mother died and she was adopted by an aunt, and her cousin had a name Esther also, so they named her Ethel. And it became Esther Ethel, Ethel Esther. It was confusing what the name was. So they tried probably calling the children. But there was one grandson of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky who was learning in Eretz Yisrael in Yeshivas Panovich at the time. And he once met an old man who came from the same town as Rabbi Yaakov's mother. And he figured, he grew up with her in that town. He probably knows who it is. And he went to this individual, and indeed, he knew the name. It's Yaakov ben Ethel, I think he said. That's how he knew her as Ethel. He was very happy. When he had the name, now he was ready, and he went into his Rosh Hashiva, he went into Rav Shach. And he says, Rebbe, I just wanted to inform you that my Zayde is very sick now. So Rav Shach jumped up and he says, Oi, we have to say Tehillim for Yaakov ben Ethel. And the grandson is baffled. Here we're going around, everybody's trying to find out what the name is. Well, what's Rabbi Yaakov's mother's name? Well, he's a Navi, but he knew. Maybe the guy called him up. So he says, Rebbe, I don't understand. How do you know my grandfather's mother's name? He says, I'll tell you how I know. He says, maybe it was 10, 15 years ago, I met your grandfather for the first time when he came with the first Knesia Gedola of Aguda that was in Eretz Yisrael. And that was the first time I had heard about him. It was the first time I ever met him. And we met and we spoke a little bit, and I saw what a great man he is. I saw what wisdom he has. And I said, wow, America is blessed. Chutz Laaretz is blessed with such a great person, such a great sage and a leader. I asked him for his mother's name. And since then, I've been davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be my Rech Yama Vashana, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should let him live long so he should be able to lead the people in Chutz Laaretz. So of course I know his name. I've been davening it for 15 years. He davened before. He didn't wait till he got sick. He davened already then. So this is really, the Sefer HaChinuch says, this is what we do when we make a bracha. The bracha is helping us. It's assisting us in getting the proper frame of mind. And once we're in the proper frame of mind, once we make that bracha, we have that realization, that is like we're davening. That is like we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, if you recognize I'm in charge of everything, if you recognize I give everything, you recognize all brachas from me, then I can give you bracha. If you daven before the tzara comes, then you know it's me already. So you know that that's what I wanted. That's what I want. Now you're in a state of merit that you can deserve my bracha. That's why b'chol ha'makom asher asker shmi, wherever we're able to mention Hashem's name properly, Hashem says, Avi alecha v'articha, I'll come and I'll give you bracha. We're reading the parshiyos now of Va'ei Rabbi and B'shalach, where the Klal Yisrael is in their time of tzara, and even when they go out in B'shalach, they come up and they're faced with the Yamsuf in front of them and the Mitzrayim behind them, and the Medrash tells us on the side there were animals, they couldn't escape to the sides, and the Torah tells us Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael, that they cried out to Hashem. And Rashi comments and he says Tafsu umnois avaisam, that they grabbed the way of their forefathers. They grabbed the way that their forefathers did, and they davened. And Rashi quotes, you see, Avram Avinu daven Shachris, and Yitzchok daven Mincha, and Yaakov daven Ma'ariv. And Rabbi Yeruchim Levovitz of the Mir says, what kind of comparison is that? Avram Avinu daven Shachris did so every day. And Mincha was on a daily basis, and Ma'ariv as well. And here, this was B'nai Yisrael in a time of need. Says Rabbi Yeruchim, you know what we see from this? That's the way the Avos always daven. The Avos always daven. Every Shachris as if the world is going to be destroyed. Every Mincha as if all is lost if we don't daven properly. That's the way Avraham Avinu davened Shacharis and Yitzchak Mincha and Yaakov Marim. They davened as if there was a Yamsuf in front of them and Mitzrayim behind them. When you daven that way, then you don't have to be put in that predicament. Then Hashem says, I see the way you're davening now already. You understand that you have to come on to me for everything. You understand that I'm the only one that can do anything. You understand all your health is in my hand. You understand all the love of life is in my hand. You understand all the bracha is in my hand. So then I don't have to put you in a situation where you feel, I'm desperate now. Now I need Hashem's help. So if we make brachas ahead of time, if we're conscious of what Baruch Atah Hashem means now. Baruch Atah Hashem, Hashem, you are the source of all blessing. You're the source of all blessing, and you made this. You're the source of all blessing, and you gave us this. You're the source of all blessing, and you give us clothing. You're the source of all blessing, you make us walk properly. If we make the brachas properly, Hashem says, you make brachas properly, you're in the proper frame of mind. Anytime you make a bracha properly, Avay Elecha Uveirachticha. Then I'm ready to come and give you bracha, and give you Aisher, and give you all the bracha that there is. So the key to blessings is blessings itself. The key to getting all brachas is making brachas properly. We make brachas properly, Hashem says, you make the brachas properly, I'll give you all the bracha. Hagud Nechaydish to all.